You can hear me now on the cheap seats in the back. I apologize. This is the first time I've preached in at least 3 years, if not more, and still trying to get a hold of. Oh, I thought you were cueing me. I'm sorry. You're holding this up. Say this now. my name is Cliff, and I'm going to talk on Angry Jesus. And if you want to open your Bibles, if you have a Bible, open it to John 2, 12 through 25 is what we're going to go through, which is obviously what we already read. I don't have a PowerPoint, so if you don't have Bible open, I'm going to read you the verses again anyway, so we'll get through this. Don't worry, nobody panic. It might take a little longer than normal, but that's only because I ramble like I'm doing now. We get used to it. So the title of it is Angry Jesus. I'm sure it was lovingly titled, of course, and Ben got into some of that. Actually kind of stole my thunder on a couple of things, which is okay. It's cool. We're all talking about the same thing. That's good. We've heard of thoughtful Jesus, dinner party Jesus, Good Samaritan Jesus, laughing Jesus. My mom had that picture. I remember when we got it. Painting. There's no pictures. I'm sorry. Kirk has some pictures, though. He's shown them. We have that picture of laughing Jesus, the painting of laughing Jesus. And these are the images of Jesus we really like to see. We like the thoughtful, the dinner party, this Good Samaritan, the laughing Jesus. Angry Jesus is probably not at the top of anybody's list for good reason. Who wants to think of an angry Jesus? But angry Jesus is there because Jesus got angry. I'm sure from the top, off the top of your head, you could probably think of Jesus calling the Pharisees hypocrites and a brood of vipers. There's usually ones that pop into our head right off the bat. But if you look a little closer, Jesus also called his followers a bunch of freeloaders. In John 6:26, he talks about, what does he say? He says, "You follow me because I fed you." They're freeloaders, all of them. you have in Matthew 16:23, and there's also a verse in Mark where Jesus calls Peter Satan. "Get behind me, Satan." He's calling his number one guy Satan. So Jesus wasn't just angry with the Pharisees. This is really the tie-in here, is that Jesus' anger is far different from human anger. You've got to keep that in key focus. I want to share a couple of stories with you. When I was 6 years old, these are examples of human anger. When I was 6 years old, my dad had found a Coke can. We bought a 24-pack of Coke. We were working out in the backyard. He found a Coke can that was still sealed but empty. I think this is pretty rare, but I've been told other people have had them. I don't know. Has anybody here ever gotten like an empty bottle of Coke? You've gotten, okay. So we had one. So they're, what was it, about 6 out of 100. So they're rare, but they're not out of the ordinary. But anyway, he had one. This is the first one we'd ever had, the only one we'd ever had. And he had it on his shelf in his office in the house. And so we're working out in the yard, and I got mad at him. And of course, I don't remember why. I don't remember what started the whole thing. I was 6 years old. Who cares? I got mad at him and went in the house. Actually, I think I was sent in the house. And I got a screwdriver. And I went at that can like nobody's business. Wham! And I put it back on the shelf, right out in the open where everybody could see it, especially my dad. And I remember he didn't punish me. He came in, he found the can, and of course you know it was me. Parents always know. And he brings it up to me, and he says, "Cliff, this can is probably one in a million. We may never find another one, and now it's trash." And he threw it away. You'd think I would have learned my lesson. But when I was 9, 3 years later, my mom is now a single parent, and we're living in Ann Arbor, and I was able to walk to school. And so one day I'm walking home from school, and because sometimes I would be the only one home, I was entrusted with a key, a lovely house key. And you know how, if you've ever experienced this, you think you've got everything remembered, you know exactly what you're going to do, and the second before you're about to do something, you suddenly remember you forgot the most important thing. Has that ever happened to anybody? That happens to me. I forgot the key. I'm standing on my porch. The second I put my foot on the porch, I knew I didn't have the key with me. Check the door anyway, locked. Check the back door, locked. Check the garage door, locked. Our garage door has this pane of glass. I don't know, that big. You know, it's a glass door. And they must make that glass thinner. I was 9 years old, so this was 30 years ago. I'm pretty sure I just tapped it. But I must not have, because when my fist went through the window, the glass shattered. And I now have about an inch and a half scar on my right. Well, now. I've had this scar since I was 9 on my wrist to remind me that my human anger did not produce the righteousness that God desires. It did, however, produce a bill that my mom had to pay. I was that angry. I wanted to get in the house, and I wanted to get in the house now. So I just put my fist through the window. The glass shattered. And fortunately, my brother came home not too much later and was able to bandage me up for the peroxide and all that, took care of me. It's a little, you know, you think about it, my heart kind of skips a beat sometimes because I was probably about a quarter inch away from an artery. And I was home alone and I was 9 years old. My anger got the best of me and it was not a good situation. So again, and I share those examples, and I share old examples because more recent examples are too embarrassing, and I just don't want to bring those up. But like I just said, that's James 1:20. The righteousness of man does not produce, or I'm sorry, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God desires. We studied James just not too long ago. And this is the anger we're all familiar with. And when we think of Jesus getting angry, I think that's where our mind goes. Our mind kind of goes to that same human anger, that there was some emotion behind it, some surprise behind it. And we'll say that Jesus had righteous anger, but then we still frame it in terms of that emotional response. But that doesn't quite cut it. And I think this passage will show clearly that Jesus' anger does not have an emotional component. We can separate passion from emotion if you'd like, but there's no emotional component to Jesus' anger. To lay this out, I've got basically three premises that I want you to keep in mind. And I think these premises would actually help throughout the study of Scripture. But number one is, nothing surprises God. He knows everything that's going to happen. When, why, where, what? Nothing surprises God. Two, God takes worship seriously. Three, Jesus knows us completely. And that's both bad news and good news. So let's pray and then we'll dig into this scripture. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share what you've taught me with these wonderful people at Scio Community Church. And I pray that you fill us all with your Spirit so that we will learn more about you today and be able to worship you in greater spirit and truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So a quick refresher. Where have we been? And this is part Ben talked about a little bit. What did we study last week? John 2:1-11. Does anyone remember the big event from last week? The wine. The wine at the wedding. Remember, Kirk's taking notes and names in case for all of you who didn't know that. See? Okay, so we've got the wedding at Cana. A lovely little celebration. Jesus turns water into wine because they ran out. How long did the celebration last? 7 days, yes. And by all accounts, everyone had a wonderful time. Mary got to show off her son. Jesus performed a miracle that everyone enjoyed. And the bridegroom got to take the credit. Lovely. But in John 2:4, Jesus says, "My time has not yet come." Well, that's about to change. Verse 12, John 2:12. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days, a sweet little family vacation. Not too much going on here. Capernaum is, I believe, about 6 miles east. It's about a 6 mile walk east of Cana, north side of Galilee. A couple of interesting things here. Joseph's father isn't mentioned. Jesus' father isn't mentioned. Thank you. My wife is taking notes too. After about 15 minutes, she's going to start going like this. Wrap it up. Jesus' foster father, Joseph, is not mentioned. We don't really know for certain what happened to Joseph, except that he's not mentioned here. He's only mentioned at the beginning of Matthew and Luke. I'm trying to remember. I don't think he's mentioned in Mark at all. Maybe just in the genealogy. No, there's no genealogy. I'm not sure he's mentioned in Mark at all. I'll have to double check that. It's possible he had died before then. It's likely that he had died before then because they're headed to the Passover feast, which means he had to be there. So he probably died. very sad. Something to keep in mind there. The other thing is Jesus has brothers. And these are siblings, not brothers in the faith, because the disciples are also mentioned. There's some debate amongst some churches as to whether or not Jesus had brothers or that Mary had other children. This passage mentions his brothers. There's a passage in Matthew 13 that talks about Jesus' brothers by name and also mentions his sisters. So he had siblings. Just an interesting little side note. So Mary had other children. I think these passages make it clear. And she had to get them all to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Verse 13, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Everything happens in Jerusalem. This is the big deal, the big place to be, because that's where the temple was. God's house, quote unquote, God's house. God told them he lived in the temple, even though, I mean, you could worship God anywhere, but the temple is where the main worship was supposed to happen. In Exodus 23:17, we're told that Jewish males were required to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year for these feasts. And it is key, it is Jewish males were required. The females didn't have to go. They probably did. Well, Mary did. So the women were there too. But the males were the only ones required to go. So they celebrate 3 feasts. Passover, Harvest, and Tabernacles. 3 great names. Passover, we've talked about quite a bit. In fact, you know, I mean, just for Easter, we just celebrated our version of Passover. This celebrates, just real quick, this celebrates the rescue of the Israelites from Egypt, the rescue from slavery. Passover referring to the fact that God told them to put a smattering of blood on the doorposts, and then the angel of death would pass over the house that had the blood on it. The ones that didn't, that would be considered rejection of God, and the firstborn would be killed. It's not a lovely thing to think about, but God did warn them, and there is a point to it. That the Passover, then, they would celebrate the sacrifice of a lamb, the sacrificial lamb. That's where the blood came from to put on the doorposts. So God doesn't do these things haphazardly. It wasn't just sort of like thrown out there, because we also know that Jesus is also considered the Passover lamb. And in about 3 years from this time, he'll be the Passover lamb, the final sacrifice, because lamb after lamb isn't enough. They needed a final perfect sacrifice to pay for their sins. The other festival, Harvest, was to thank God for the harvest. Very simple enough, but there's another cool tie-in here that the Harvest Festival takes place 50 days after Passover, Pentecost, which we still celebrate as Pentecost. It's the day God gave the Holy Spirit to his people. Acts 2, 1 through 4 describes this, and it says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divine tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all